This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. Academic medical centers, many with state government support, have always had an awkward relationship with industry, companies like pharmaceutical and device manufacturers. This is a symbiotic relationship, what's called mutualism, where both sides benefit from each other. Industry is embedded in academic medical centers because industry needs academic researchers to collaborate on validating existing discoveries and outcomes, to look for new discoveries, and to lend prestige and credibility to their work. Academic medical centers need, or they feel they need, industry money to pay salaries and build new buildings. The problem is this relationship creates serious conflicts of interest and potentially biases research that the public depends on to be truthful. Further, executives from our nonprofit medical centers often serve on boards of directors for these for-profit companies. A study a few years ago showed that 40% of healthcare companies had academic leaders on their board of directors, many from elite universities. Average compensation for serving on a board is about $500,000 a year, plus stock holdings, which can be worth millions. Remember, these people are already paid huge salaries by their medical centers. As was pointed out in the medical journal JAMA, there is a question on who these academic leaders are really advocating for: their patients, which is their job, or the companies who pay them huge amounts of perks. This has been a problem for years, but concern has increased as pharmaceutical companies have made huge profits off of COVID vaccines, often with research funded by taxpayers through the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and then again with money from Operation Warp Speed that provided $2.4 billion to support vaccine testing and production. Controversies about discoveries made at universities with taxpayer money are decades old. How do we assure that discoveries made at our universities are globally available to those in need at a fair price? Perhaps the classic example of this was Professor Banting from the University of Toronto. After co-discovering the drug insulin in 1923, his team sold the patent on insulin to the University of Toronto for a dollar because they considered the owner of this discovery was the world and not their team. For years, insulin has been mass-produced, saving millions of lives. But now, it is a classic example of pharmaceutical greed, along with EpiPens and other generic antibiotics. Over the past decade, the price of insulin has more than tripled and now costs about $400 a month. As a result, people with insulin-dependent diabetes are forced to halve or quarter their doses to save them money. It is time to rethink the relationship between academics and industry to assure that the driving focus is on the public's health and not profit. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.